throughout the years. And so today I'm going to talk about something that there's really not a Bible verse for it, but I call it faith enhancers. And I will not nearly touch all of the faith enhancers that the Bible talks about, but I do want, and I know we started last week on looking at Psalms 119, and I talked to you about the need sometimes to pray a song or something along those lines in order, rather than to just simply pray a prayer that could end up making you feel worse than when you started. You know, you can pray and find yourself in prayer sort of bogging down. And so while we believe in prayer and just talking to the Lord, it is okay as well to use some of the written word as a prayer. And there are several prayers throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. But I'm going to talk about faith enhancers. And the verse that sort of spurred me to think about this was Mark, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, where a man, the Lord asked a man, if you believe, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so most of us have a little bit of, if you will, unbelief that goes along. We pray and we mean to have faith and we want to have faith, but we need it enhanced at times. And so we know off the bat, as I said, I could not, I can't cover all of the faith enhancers in the Bible. I got to looking at them, and the more I looked, the more I realized there's just from the Old Testament into the New Testament, over and over and over again, that the Lord gave faith enhancers to the children of Israel and to the disciples, and then the disciples to the early church. The Bible says in Romans, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, probably the greatest faith enhancer that we have is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing, how? By the word of the Lord. And so the importance, we know, of being able to read a scripture, read the word, whether it's in Psalms 119 or some other portion of scripture. As a matter of fact, last year for Men's Day and for Ladies' Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, we gave out little prayer promise books. And I will see them occasionally around on Tuesday night, corporate prayer once a month, or I'll see somebody have one in their purse or billfold, and they're opening it up and they're reading a promise and they're praying a promise. And that's important, that when you are praying, and if you've ever been, you know, and you say, well, I can't hardly pray an hour, and I'm not demanding that you pray an hour, but you probably, if you will make it an hour, at some point you're going to have to incorporate a scripture, whether you do it from memory or whether you do it from opening the Bible and reading it. Why? There's that sense of faith is increased as you hear the word. And some verses and some chapters, we will say, read them out loud. Psalms 91 is a good chapter to read out loud. Other chapters are powerful chapters to read out loud when you are going through a storm, when you need faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, Hebrews 11th chapter is the faith chapter, and it starts off, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that right there is an amazing verse, in as much as that most of what we look at as real has substance. or has evidence. Meaning, you know, that's a real chair because it has substance. I got a pain in my leg. There's no substance, but there's evidence. Ow. You understand? And so what we interpret as real has substance and evidence. Some things don't have substance, but they have evidence. You know? Brother Britton's been battling some high blood pressure and had evidence of that was, I'm dizzy. You say, well, how do you know you had it? Well, let me tell you, there was evidence of it. It wasn't a substance. Let me take that high blood pressure out. But there was evidence. You understand what I'm saying? And so Paul, probably the writer of Hebrews, said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that when we have our faith, that's when whatever I'm praying for, it will bring substance to it when we have faith. That somehow it's as if we are making it real. Faith makes things real. You understand what I'm saying? And he goes on. A lot of great verses in the 11th chapter. And one of the famous ones is verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must do what? Believe that he exists. Believe that he is. And believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So my part is to diligently seek the Lord. So how do I do that? How do I pursue God? Well, if I don't, there's Nathan. Lord bless him and his wife. Sorry, I just now saw you. You're not sitting over here. I missed you. Sorry about that. Our long lost sheep that live in Indiana. Lord bless him. Good to have him home. Brother Nathan Shees. Lord bless him. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now, how is it that I'm going to seek the Lord? And then you look and you say, well, Lord, I want to know how, when you, pastor, talks about help my unbelief, what are some faith enhancers? And you could start at the very beginning, when you gave Noah a rainbow so that he would never destroy the world again by flood, but physical things that were given to different individuals. In the Old Testament, Abraham, we remember, we call him the father of the faithful, and yet repeatedly the Lord would give him physical things that would enhance his faith. For one of them was, he said, look up and see the stars in the sky. When you see the stars, that's how many kids you're going to have and what your next generation is going to, subsequent generations are going to have. He said, when you walk along the seashore, there's going to be sand and you're going to see the seashore. And then the last part of that, and your seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. So there was that sense of a promise, and that promise was connected to something that was physical. So no matter how dark the night was, no matter how black it was, he could look up and he would see a star and he would say, God is still able. God still knows where I am. God still sees where I am. Everywhere he walked, he had sand in his shoes, had sand all around him. And every time he took a step, he would say, but God is still faithful. God is still able. God is still on the throne. God is still my leader, my guide, my protector. I'm thankful that I know God. Yeah. Now, I'm going to go through several of these, and yet probably one of the greatest, if you will, things in the Old Testament as a faith enhancer was the tabernacle, this physical building of a tabernacle. And we could talk about how that they put it in the center of the camp, all their tents opened up to it, they looked. And we could talk about the silver sockets and the linen, and we have done Bible studies, and many of you have been through Bible studies, and they've made replicas of the tabernacle, and those are always exciting as you see how those represented the redemption, and the sockets of silver were in a place of redemption. If you've never been through a Bible study on the study of the tabernacle, it's a great study. We'll be glad to do one with you. But so many of those physical things pointed to the coming of Christ, to the coming of the Messiah. And there was that physical representation. And in fact, Paul wrote in Hebrews that we serve as an example and a shadow of heavenly things. Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, that this was a faith enhancer. They got up and they saw God. He was the center of their life. And I know we come into the house of the Lord once a week. It's supposed to be that kind of a thing, that it builds our faith. Twice a week, three times a week, five times a week, whatever you're here. Somehow it's that sense of, Lord, you're the center of my life. You're important. You're what my life is centered around. It's to enhance my faith. Now you say, well, I don't need that. Well, they needed a tabernacle. They needed sacrifices. They needed all sorts of things that came through the Old Testament somehow to show them that indeed that there was this sense of a shadow of things to come. Now, when you read in John, the faith enhancer was that Jesus used as physical enhancer, a physical thing. You can see Jesus passed by, John the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7. He saw a man that was blind from his birth. Remember the story? And immediately the disciples started asking him, who did sin? Was it this man or his parents? And the Lord says, neither one sinned, but that the power of God might be made manifest, that the works of God should be made manifest. And then what did Jesus do? Why did he do that? He spit on the ground, made a little mud, dirt. I don't know how much mud I could make in one time to spit. I maybe had to spit two or three times. But it was this process. It was a process that he was doing something physical. Right. Now, did the Lord need, he had healed blinded eyes before. Did he have to do that? No, but he was involving a process to try to get this everybody, because they didn't know why this guy was blind and what was going on. And so he was bringing them right in. You know, here he is spitting. They're watching this. He's putting mud in his eyes. And then he tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted. And the interpretation is sent. Now, what was amazing was when you read those verses, Jesus had just said, I am the light of the world. I can do anything. I can bring light to this man. But still, he went through this physical process. And the Bible says that when the man washed his eyes, he came forth seeing. Why would the Lord go through all of that? And the Bible is absolutely filled with stories. You know, taking the little boy's fish and bread and Then he has them sit down, and then he breaks the bread, and he pulls the fish, and he lets them have. What was he doing? That whole process, it was a process, but it was designed to enhance their faith. And then, I preached a few weeks ago, he let them load that fish in a boat and take it across the sea. And they got out in the middle rowing. And here they had the evidence of an amazing miracle in the boat. But it was like, but Jesus wasn't there. And that's when he walked. Remember me? What was this all about? Was it's a process to get me to have my faith increase. You see? And that's why I'm calling it enhancer, like a flavor enhancer, I guess. And that's a cheap way of trying to explain it. But let me give you a few more examples of physical things that would enhance faith. The most famous doubting story is that of Thomas, remember? Thomas wasn't with all the rest of the disciples when the Lord appeared. I don't know where he was. I don't know what he was doing. But Thomas wasn't there. And so Thomas says, brashly, well, if I don't get to put my finger in the palm of his hand or my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Now, we call him Doubting Thomas. But he made a brash statement. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears. And do you know what the Lord said? Peace be unto you. And then he just turns to Thomas and says, oh, by the way, Thomas, put your finger right in here. Put your hand here. Yes. Whoa. First of all, that the Lord heard him. When he was making such a brash statement. Amen. And the fact that, you know, the Bible doesn't say that he ever actually did it. Most people would believe that he didn't. That it was almost immediate. But when the Lord said, thrust your arm into my side, he used this phrase, be not faithless, but believing. If it takes you doing something physical to get this faith going back in you, Thomas, come ahead. Amen. And immediately Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. It was as if just the fact that Jesus said, do it. There was this immediate response that, you know, this is real. This guy is really alive. You know, there were some other disciples that were blind. The Bible says they left Jerusalem on the third day after the crucifixion. And they were on their way to Emmaus. Remember them? And they're faithless. They've lost hope. Jesus has been crucified. And in fact, they were there when the women came in and said he was risen. But yet they didn't believe and they headed off toward Emmaus. And all of a sudden, somebody appears next to him and begins to talk to him about the word and begins to expound to him scriptures. And the Bible says that they reached down to Emmaus and they constrained him. They said, please stay, eat with us, have some food. But they had used a specific, and they were telling Jesus about Jesus, and they said these words. They said, and we had trusted, we had faith that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. We believed in him. And now our faith is gone and we're headed to Emmaus. Remember the story? And when Jesus prayed and did what? He broke the bread. That physical action of breaking bread and giving them the bread, all of a sudden, boom, their eyes were open and they said, wow, we know who this is. And the Bible says he disappeared and they rose up immediately and returned to Jerusalem and found the leaven and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. Now we have faith all of a sudden. You say, well, what are you meaning? And I could go on, as I said, I can't tell you all the physical things that were used. We could talk about anointing with oil. It's nothing in this oil that makes it, huh? Can get olive oil. But it's a physical representation of the Holy Ghost. Of the anointing. The Bible says, you know, those that are sick, let them call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith. And it's not that you have faith in the oil, but it's that somehow that God is able to heal. This is the physical representation. We have prayer claws. And I don't see any of the cards up here, but we have some of the claws. But we have prayer claws. That comes from Acts, the 19th chapter. I'm sorry, I hit the wrong one. Let me see here. Where is it? We had trusted. And there it is, 14. That it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And you know, many of you have come and received, and we have usually we have them in a card, but the, you know, we've anointed a cloth, and it's nothing. There's no special healing, but it's an enhancer. I've talked to individuals that have taken them with them, pinned them to their garment going into surgery, and put them under their pillow of a loved one and put them in their hand. What are you saying? It's not that this is so healing power, but it's a faith enhancer that I see it. You know what? This was people were praying. That means that God heard. That means that God is able. I don't know when he'll do it. I don't know how he'll do it, but I know God is able to do it. I know God is able to heal. I know God is able to touch. This represents the prayer and the praise and the sense of, you know, that whole sense we could talk about worship. We could talk about raising your hands, doing something physical. And I know you can say, well, I'm not a very physical person. I never do anything physical. I never, you know, I just, you know, they carry me around in a bucket. I don't even move. Most of us do something physical, and most of us have, you know, man, oh, that's great. Ooh, man, how exciting, whatever. And there's something about that, you know, you can sit quietly, and yet there's something about being physical with God, raising a hand, clapping your hands. What are you doing? You're saying, Lord, I surrender. It's as if somebody walked in and said, you know, Lord, you're supreme. You say, well, I don't really, I'm not one to raise my hands. And yet, you know, if the Bucks are playing, I'm jumping up out of, off the couch, and I'm screaming and shouting. Well, what? Sometimes those are faith enhancers. That's why we do them in the house of the Lord. That's why we're involved, and we get a little demonstrative, and I understand, and we're not trying to offend, and I know we can worship God in the quietness of solitude, but there's sometimes something physical. That's when you go in the Old Testament and you saw David David dancing with all his might and worshiping God in front. What was he doing? He was so thankful that he was able to be in the presence of God. He was so thankful that he could feel what he could feel. He was so thankful that even though his family didn't respect him enough to call him in when the prophet came by and wanted to anoint him, he was the one that got the anointing oil. He was so thankful that God had given him the help through a lion and a bear and Goliath. He worshiped the Lord. What is that? That's a faith enhancer. Sometimes simply praying aloud, raising a hand, coming to the front. And I've had to have told people, I don't know. I can't tell you that taking 30 more steps and raising your hands and letting somebody anoint you with oil is going to be the miracle. But guess what? It can enhance your faith.
Amen.
Just simply saying, Lord, I need you. Huh? I need you to work in my life. I surrender. Why? It can build faith in you. It's like having, the Lord spit and put mud in your eye. You say, that's gross. I wouldn't do that. If it was between seeing and not seeing?
Yeah. Think about it. Yes.
Huh? Well, I can't worship if it means my life. If it means my mental health, if it means my emotional stability, if it means deliverance or not being delivered. I'm going to do everything I can physically. You say, well, Pastor. Yeah, but if the doctor comes in and says, I need you to take these three little tablets, just tell him, that's physical. I don't do that. Huh? I do nothing physical. Oh, this hour. And Lord, increase our faith. I have faith, Lord, but I need you to increase the faith. Now, that's just one faith enhancer. That's just the sense of physical things. And now there's a whole nother level of verbalizing things prophetically, speaking things that are not as though they are, when there's nothing physical, when there's the evidence. Joel said it like this, let the weak say. Now, we're not advocating being ridiculous, saying, I'm not sick, I'm not going to take care of myself. Well, I'm not talking about that, but there's sometimes, when you pray, you've got to verbalize where you want to be. And that's why we're praying Psalms 119. Romans says, read it in the fourth chapter, therefore it is of faith, God who quickened the dead and calleth those things. God calls those things which be not as though they were. Sometimes you may not feel like it, but I've spoken to things and said, I know it's not there yet, but I'm calling it like it is there. Amen. Lord, I'm feeling better today. According to that which was spoken, and it talks about Abraham being not weak in faith, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Why? Because even though he was old, even though he shouldn't have, he called his name. When the Lord said, change your name from Abram to Abraham, the word Abraham means father of many nations. And guess what? He was father of zero at that time. But he said, I want you to start calling me Abraham. Yeah, but Abe, it's important what you call me. Because every time you call me for supper, I need to remember God's promise. That's why the Lord would change names sometimes in the Old Testament. He called Cephas. He said, you're going to be the rock. All of a sudden, Jacob, you're going to be Israel. All of those things. Why? faith enhancers, that there was something they were verbalizing that had not yet come to pass. What are you saying? Oh, let's go on. I could talk about Gideon. Remember, I preached about him a few weeks ago, how he was hiding. The Bible says he was hiding from the Midianites. He was hidden away, and he had a little bit of grain in his hands, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And you know what the angel said? Thou mighty man of valor. Where? The Lord is with thee. Where is this mighty? I'm hiding in a cave. And Gideon had no faith. Read what his response. He said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then why is all this stuff happening to me? And where are all the miracles that I've heard about? And why has the Lord forsaken us? And why are we delivered? He didn't have any faith, but the angel sent a word. Thou mighty man of valor. Sometimes you have to speak a word before you don't even have the faith. You have to say, Lord, you said you'd never leave nor forsake. You said you would be there in the midnight hour. You said, what am I doing? I'm verbalizing things prophetically. Now, let me show you. Jesus himself did this. You remember, Jesus said, telling his disciples in the 16th chapter of John, right before he goes to the garden and prays, he's fixing to go to Gethsemane. It's right at the end. He's gone through the Passover. All of this, he tells his disciples, he says, the hour is coming, yea, now, that you shall be scattered, and every man will be on his own, and you're going to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, and the Father is with me. And there's a whole sermon in that, because he ended up thinking that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he stated beforehand, the Lord will never leave me. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. But he hadn't. This was before Calvary. He hadn't yet overcome the world. As a matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear that it was not, the world was not overcome until Calvary. It talks about being buried with him in baptism. That's why we go down in Jesus' name, and risen with him through the fruit of the operation of God. Not only because it talks about baptism in Jesus' name all through the book of Acts, but here Paul talks about it. Who hath raised him from the dead, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, made it contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, and all of that openly triumphing over them. What were you saying? That's what Brother Reagan said today when he said in the Old Testament that by your stripes, we, future tense, are healed, were healed. New Testament, what are you talking about? He was prophetically saying something that had not yet happened. Why? But he knew that as soon as Calvary, I will have shed the blood, every power will be broken, every sin. Well, you say, well, how could I say that I'm delivered until I'm delivered? Well, you have to start proclaiming it prophetically. How can you say I'm healed until I'm healed? Well, sometimes you have to speak it prophetically. You have to say, Lord, by your stripes I was healed on Calvary. Therefore, I'm going to walk in healing. I'm going to claim it. Another place Jesus verbalized prophetically, he said, the 70 gathered to him and said, oh Lord, the devils are subject unto thy name. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, I know immediately people say, well, that happened way back in Genesis. And I'm okay with that if you say that that means that Jesus was already there in Genesis. Or was he speaking prophetically about Revelation? Because he said, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power over the enemy, and nothing shall by in any means hurt you. And in Revelation, the 12th chapter said there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought the dragon, and they cast him out, and he fell to the earth. And now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. What are you saying? I'm saying that somehow, and they overcame him by the word, by the blood, by their testimony, all of that. I'm telling you that sometimes you have to speak prophetically. Lord, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to speak a word, even though I don't have that word yet, because I am building the evidence of things not yet seen. That's why Jesus leaned over to him, John the 20th chapter, and he said, peace be unto you. And he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. But they didn't get the Holy Ghost right then. But he blew wind. He let them feel the air. And about the 10th day, the Bible says a wind started building in the upper room, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What are you saying? I'm saying that somehow there is a faith enhancer that the Lord was talking about, the wind of the Holy Ghost before the Holy Ghost ever came. And I want you to know, I understand when you say, well, you know, Brother Showstrand, I don't know how I can do it. I don't know what I can do. I'm going to take it. The 17th chapter of Matthew, after the disciples, the Lord had built their faith and said, I saw the devil fall. They came back and they said, a guy brought his son and they couldn't cast the devil out. And the Lord used this phrase. He said, they asked him, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, because of your unbelief. Yeah. And he said, if you would have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a little. You sure how big a mustard seed is? I got a mustard seed. These are not special seeds. These are Kroger seeds. See how small that is? He said, if you could just have just one here, just one, that much, just this much, not a lot. Just this little bit right here. If you could just have this much faith, that much. You can't even hardly see it between my fingers. If you could just have that little bit of faith. He said you could speak to a mountain. You know why? Because you know how mountains were formed? Oh, the Lord spoke a word and mountains were formed. In fact, there's a verse that says there's nothing that exists that wasn't held up and framed by the word of God. What are you saying? If I could have just this much faith, it was there. Did you see it? Dropped out? Well, let me give you another one. You need a double dose of faith.
Amen to that one. Oh, I feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just tiny.
Wow.
Little. You could speak to a mountain. And say, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible to you. It's not whether or not you have enough faith. It's whether you enhance it by prayer and fasting and say, Lord, you can do anything, by your worship, by how you're talking. Disappeared, didn't it? Rolled right off. What are you saying? We're going to stand. I don't know. I don't know where you are. Brother Reagan, here, I want you to take this. Come stand right down here. I want you to pour some of these out in your hand. Anybody that comes up, I want them to have one. Brother Matt, Brother Carter. I want you to go down there. It's easy to open. You're in college, you'll figure it out. Just pour some in your hand. Nothing. This is Kroger mustard seed. But if you're going through something and you're saying, Lord, I need it, remember, you can do anything. That's why we're praying Psalms 119. That's why we're fasting a meal. Why? You're saying, I don't know if God is able. Let me tell you, all you need is a very little amount of faith. And then start enhancing it by your worship. It's up here. If you want one, you can come join us. You can just hold it in your hand. You can take it outside and throw it away. You can tape it to your Bible. You can put it in your pocket. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be very careful you don't lose it because it's so tiny. But I want to tell you, just that much faith can move a mountain. Just